Flutter here. Since CGs and initiatives are on hold, it seems that I'm going to have to dust off some of my old hobbies, such as high-G bungee jumping and bear baiting. Though, to be honest, putting worms on hooks whilst you're in the nip isn't entirely too risky for your dignity. In the meantime, I thought that it was time that I read some more from my best-selling autobiography, How I Became the Pilots Federation's Favourite Pilot. Now, I've had some messages from listeners about this. It seems that inexplicably, many of you have missed the broadcast where I covered my early years, so the producers of this show have asked if I can start all over again, in hopes that you'll pay more attention this time. Since I'm always willing to oblige, and since I've increased my fee, I'm happy to do this for you, my loyal fans. Chapter 1, A Damp Beginning. If you really want to hear about it, the first thing you'd probably want to know is where I was born, and what my lousy childhood was like, and how my parents were occupied and all before they had me, and all that David Copperfield kind of crap. So if you're sitting comfortably, I'll begin. I was born, so my parents told me, on Sol in Huddersfield, or at least within the bounds of what used to be Huddersfield, now part of the Great Yorkshire Lake. My parents were at the time posing as underwater archaeologists whilst on the run from the law, owing to a misunderstanding about their following of the philosophies of the French anarchist and some collaborator with Karl Marx, Pierre-Joseph Proudhon, who declared that all property is theft, and the way that they went about an entirely too practical application of those ideas. Consequently, I was born 20 metres underwater in a submersible called Greta T, in which I was to spend the first 3 years of my life. These early days were filled with amazing and wonderful sights, such a variety of sea that swarm lazily backwards and forwards in front of my viewport, their bright, vibrant colours, something hitherto not associated with Huddersfield outside of Pride Week. Most of the original, now submerged, town had, of course, succumbed to the effects of tide and salt water, but some parts still remained. There were eels that coiled themselves around the arms and legs of a statue of someone apparently called Harold Wilthorpe. And on one rather lonely wall, that obviously used to be part of a much bigger structure, you could see a plaque and still make out the name James Mason. For some reason, that used to make my parents smile. It was a lonely life in some ways. I had my parents, of course, but I longed for the company of other children. My best friend was a jellyfish that swam past, as I called, Mr. Squishy, but he never seemed to return my affection. On my third birthday, my parents threw a special party for me. We had raspberry jellyfish, fish flakes, skin crisps, things that they called sausage rolls, but spelled suspiciously of eel, and a cake with a drawing of three lit candles. We couldn't have real candles, of course, not with the pressurised oxygen. When I blew and made a wish, my parents replaced the picture with one showing three small green candles and told me that they had a surprise. Their bounties had expired, and you young people reading this probably won't know, but in those days bounties would expire if you could hide from the authorities for long enough. And that we were, at last, heading for our real home. Asteroids? My real home was the asteroids. It's true. Apparently my parents had originally been miners before they fell on hard times. None of you void open billionaires back then, no sir. Looking at how many hours my parents had to work with their lasers to scrape crust off the surface of those rocks, I'm not surprised they fell into the pirating ways that had been their downfall. That's all I have time for this week. Next time, I'll be talking about my school days, including the year I spent at boarding school on Ryko 5 and the mysterious fire that happened when I was not smoking in Cubicle 2 and nowhere near the pile of Play Pilot magazines that we didn't keep hidden from the teachers. How I Became the Pilots Federation's Favourite Pilot was written by Harry Balzac and narrated by Commander Flossy. The music was by Alan Stroud and edited by Commander Ventura for the Hutton Orbital Performers.